Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
All right, it's another episode of Saints Drunk History. Today is a very special two-part episode. We're going to do the 2011 Saints. We were originally going to do something else, but 2011, Andrew, I was looking at the research while I was getting drunk on Jim Beam Honey Bourbon. I know people hate the Honey Bourbon. I love it. I'm drinking it.
I've been sucking down some Andy Gators.
The 2011 Saints are... they are magnificent and tragic and all of that together. And before we even get to the games, though, the thing that I forgot about 2011, Andrew, as I was like doing the research tonight, is that was the strike year. Like, not a strike, but like they had the whole they had to get the collective bargaining agreement done, right? So it didn't get done until like the end of the summer, right? So like free agency and all like happened in the summer, which was just bananas, right? You know, like, didn't they do free agency in like July, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. It was after the draft, I believe.
So the Saints had the draft and they got Ingram, and they got Cam Jordan, and Cam Jordan was kind of he didn't really do much his first year. Ingram kind of didn't either. He only had 470 yards. But even, Andrew, just as a side...
Ingram was okay.
Yeah, he got hurt against Dallas and just when he was starting to get it together. But here's the thing. Like, going back, if you told us what Ingram was going to be, I think I'd still do that trade. Like, I'd have given up I'd have moved... You know, the Saints basically gave up a first and a second-round pick for Ingram. I think knowing what I know about Ingram, I think I'd have still done that trade. Like, is that crazy? Even...
It's tough because he's such an important part of the team now.
Fucking Alabama just scored.
Yeah,
anyway.
I know. I'm watching. he's such an important part of the team now that I have a hard time imagining him not being on it. But, you know, I also asked myself two questions. Number one, was he worth a first-round pick? Has he delivered? And I'd say he's pretty close at this point. Yeah. He took a while to get there. But also with Ingram, the other thing I always ask myself is, could they have gotten someone else to give him the same production? I don't think anything that Ingram does is so exceptional that they couldn't have gotten a running back in a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick or free agent or whatever that would have been on par with that. So I'm not sure I'd make that trade.
Yeah. So they had free agency, and the Saints, that was the final year of like getting the Drew Brees discount because they were only paying him $10 million a year. So they went out and they got a bunch of guys. They got a Brave Franklin on defense, right? Didn't they? Sean Rogers at defense.
I remember, signing Roman Harper was a big one.
Yeah.
That offseason.
Like, a Brave Franklin was the guy. They signed Sean Rogers to try to like fix their defense in the interior, which they've been doing for fucking ever since Sean Payton's been here. But they did that. They got Turk McBride, who was like an interesting guy who didn't amount to anything. But they signed Sproles, and like, I'm not right about a lot of shit, but when they signed Sproles, I was like, Sproles is going to kick ass with the Saints because he I was like, he's Reggie Bush with the pass catching, but he's better at running the ball.
Yeah, I remember the media especially kind of saying, this isn't fair. Like, how could you give Sproles to Drew Brees in this offense?
Yeah. And the thing about, the Saints going into the year also was, they went into training camp, and Stinchcomb did, like, one practice. John Stinchcomb was like, I'm done. And he retired. And the Saints just plugged Streif in, who they had been, like, grooming, and he was, like, he was the tackle-eligible guy. And he would fill in when people were hurt, but they had signed him to like an extension, and he plugged in at right tackle, and they were good to go. But the thing that I think
this was the year too that Jimmy Graham exploded, and I think at that point we knew he could be something.
Yeah, but
we had no idea.
We didn't realize it. Like I will say in fantasy, I played in a fantasy league in Houston, obviously, and people didn't know about Jimmy Graham. But I had remembered, like, Jimmy Graham at the end of 2010, like, he caught the game-winning pass when they went to Atlanta on Monday night and won, like, 17-14. Like, he caught the winning touchdown, and he was starting to come along, right?
Yep.
And he hurt his foot.
In the ankle. Yep.
Yeah, in the final game. And it killed them in 2011 because they had so much trouble at the goal line against Seattle. But it wasn't like – no, Jimmy Graham, people were like, oh, yeah, 2010, 31 catches, 356, like five touchdowns. People were like, he's going to be really interesting. But nobody was like, dude's going to catch 100 balls for 1,311. But the Saints go in there, you know, the 2011 season. So they start on Thursday night, right? Mm-hmm. And it's Green Bay and the Saints. And that game, I had it on a DVD just for odd reason. That game, Andrew, was fucking bananas. But is there anything else we need to add before we get into the games? Like, I feel like we're kind of forgetting something about 2011, but is there anything in the offseason that we're forgetting? Like that?
No, I think Sproles was the big one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was a lot about signing their own guys because once they had a lot of free agents, I remember,
yeah,
and it was kind of a mad rush to re-sign those guys once, you know, basically free agency opened up.
Yeah. Like free agency that year was.
So that was their focus.
Free agency was fucking bonkers because everybody had to do it in like 2 weeks, you know. So they go to Green Bay, and their defense just get Aaron Rodgers just fucking obliterated their defense to start that game.
Yeah,
he went. Green Bay was up 21-7, and you know the Saints. John Casey kicks a field goal. And then that game got fucking bananas. Like, Sproles runs the punt back. Then but the Green Bay drives back, and it's 28-17. And it's 35-20. And the Saints, they score, and it's 35-27. They hold them. And I still say, I think the Saints, they went about 90-something yards at the end. And No, they score it with 2:15 left to Jimmy Graham, and it's 34.
Yeah, little unknown fact: John Kuhn, the Saints fullback, had a 1 yard touchdown run in this game for the Packers.
So the Saints scored like right before the 2 minute warning, and they actually held on defense and got the ball back, and they were pinned deep. And I still say it's one of Drew Brees' magnificent moments. I know that they ended up not winning because Mark Ingram couldn't get in from the one. But that drive at the end, like, he hit Graham, he hit Sproles, like, it was magnificent and, like, in an unbelievable way, you know? But the interesting thing about that game, Andrew, is I remember, you know, they don't score because of Ingram, and everybody's like, oh, why didn't they throw it to Graham or do something with Sproles? And I heard an interesting theory about that, is that teams a lot of times will have, like, a two-point play that they haven't, like, a coach will keep in his pocket at the end of the game. And the theory was that's what Sean Payton wanted to do because he knew he had to score, right? They had to score the touchdown to make it 42-40, and then they had to go for two, right? So the theory was Sean Payton kept the two-point play in his pocket and was like, I need that for the two-point conversion, so I'm going to save that little out to Jimmy Graham or the little out to Lance Moore for the 2 points, and I got to get in for the touchdown on another play, which it seems kind of bonkers that you would just be like, I got to score the touchdown. I'll worry about that later. But it's an interesting theory, right? And for that game.
Yeah. I mean, I think you worry about the 2 point conversion when you get it. So I don't know that I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, it would have been one of those things, but you know, I remember the sentiment and I remember us talking after this game. And one of the sentiments I had was, man, like their defense was so bad. And Rodgers, like, you know, and at this time, I mean, this was
27 for 35, 312 and 3.
Wow.
Ryan Rodgers.
The mentality wasn't like, hey, let's hope they can do better than 7-9. Like in those days, like the aspiration was Super Bowl, you know, that we can win this thing. And so, you know, when you go up first game of the season against Aaron Rodgers, a team of that caliber, you know, you're really, that's a measuring.
And their defense was good the year before. They played a lot of shitty quarterbacks, but their defense was fourth in yards and different things and pretty good. It wasn't good DVOA. It was like middling. But the thought was the defense.
But I think
was,
for my point is, I think for Rodgers to carve up the Saints like that, it left me feeling like this team isn't Super Bowl ready.
Yeah.
Like, even though they kind of came back a little bit at the end, like, I remember it being a very deflating 0-1 because I left it thinking, this isn't a Super Bowl contender. This is a 9-7, 10-16 if we're lucky.
Which, you know, we weren't in that. We weren't in that. Oh my God, 10-6 would be wonderful. We were coming. You were coming off 13-3, 11-5, and still felt like you were in the Super Bowl window. So they lose that game. They had 477 yards of offense. So they go the next week and they pistol whip a Chicago. They pistol whip a bad Chicago team. But the thing was, man, is that the Saints were just, they were above 50%. They were like 54% on third down that year. Like that offense was fucking ridiculous. And the Green Bay game, the interesting thing was that was sort of the, it was like the Sproles coming out party, and also Jimmy Graham, he wasn't like unbelievable. He only had 4 for 56. So I don't think the whole Jimmy Graham is going to be amazing experience had really hit yet. But it was the whole thing of like, oh my God, Sproles is going to be fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember Jay Cutler, one of the many times against the Saints in that second game where he was just kind of garbage. And, you know, but yeah, you're right. I think the Jimmy Graham thing came later.
Yeah,
you know?
They sacked him. They sacked Cutler 6 times. So there was a feeling. I remember that game. We were like, all right, the defense, they got carved up by Aaron Rodgers, but that's okay. They won the Super Bowl. When they play these middling bad quarterbacks, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And that game, I remember I went to it, and that was the they had the Devery Henderson special where he hit like the 80-yard bomb when Chicago was kind of maybe you thinking it's going to be close or whatever. They hit Devery Henderson. You know, Sproles had 8 catches for 43, and the Saints offense, it rolled, but I don't think there wasn't a sense of oh my God, this team is going to be historic. But then, then I think you realized it was the offense was something special the next week, where they play the Texans, and the Texans at one point were up, I think it was, the Texans were up a couple scores, and that game was emotional because that was really the last, I want to say, one of the last public appearances where Gleason could still walk and talk and function. Like he walked out. He was a captain for the Saints that game, and he walked out.
And that was when we really started first finding out about this stuff.
Yeah.
With him having ALS.
Yeah. Like he had ALS, and you were kind of like, oh yeah, he had ALS.
I remember people just being like, why is he limping?
Yeah. I remember thinking, oh, he'll have ALS, but it'll be really bad sort of further down the line.
Well, and the thing is, like, we didn't really understand ALS. Mm-hmm. Like back then, like, I mean, someone told me he has ALS. I was like, no one knew what that was. And then, you know, someone told me, oh, that's Lou Gehrig's disease. And that's what we referred to it as back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh yeah, Lou Gehrig's disease. That's not good. But I mean, it's amazing to look back at it now, because I just think being a Saints fan, and everyone knows Steve Gleason, everyone knows what ALS is. And really it's kind of taken over the country, because, you know, he's become such a national thing that everyone knows about ALS, and everyone knows Steve Gleason now. I mean, he's become a national brand, but at the time, and so I think, you know, how much he's accomplished, you know, from that moment. But at the time, I just remember him limping and everyone just kind of being like, what's wrong with him? And, you know, hearing he has ALS and no one really knowing what that meant.
I kind of knew what it was, But I still thought that it was going to be – it wouldn't be so rapid because he had just – I think he just announced it like in the summer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember thinking, man, he you know, when he walked out, he had his hand on the back of Drew Brees or Will Smith. I forget which one. And I was like, wow, he's really – it's really hitting him hard. And I remember being very, very – like I was emotional and I wrote a column after about it. But the Saints dropped 23 on the Texans in the fourth quarter. And
yeah, they were losing 16-10 at halftime.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just another – you know – They lose a heartbreaker against the Packers, but defensively they were poor, and you know the Bears were pretty bad. So you know it was nice to get a win at home, but you know you're not feeling great about the season. They're just 1-1, and then they lay an egg in the first half against the Texans.
Yeah, Drew Brees was kind of both brilliant and terrible. He was 31 of 44 for 370, 3 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Yeah, but the picks came early, and so the first half was bad. They're down 16-10, and so again, like the feeling of how is the season going to go is very like, yeah, you know, this team just doesn't look great. And so yeah, like you said, it's kind of in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, like you said, Brees just starts to torch people, and this is where you start to realize
Jimmy Graham
goes nuts, but it's also like. Man, Brees has so many weapons to go to, and he would hit Meacham for a big play, and Henderson, and Lance Moore, and Jimmy Graham, and you know Colson was hurt, so he wasn't even back yet. But you know Colson's coming back, and Darren Sproles made a bunch of plays, and so Pierre Thomas had a play. You know, you're just like, oh God, there's so many weapons on this offense.
Yeah,
and I think you start to realize at this point that they're not really playing much defense, and it might not matter.
You're like, I don't give a shit. This is fucking awesome. And the thing is, Lance Moore had 8 catches for 88. Like that was when you were like, oh Lord, this is a machine. But then they go to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's bad, man. I mean that team was just. I mean, you know, that was when they had Yo Gabba Gabbert as their quarterback, and he was Yo Gabba Gabba, dude. I'm so drunk. He's 16 of 42 for a .196.
I remember there was a lot of rain in that game.
Yeah, but Drew Brees is like 31 of 44 for 351, but touchdown, 2 interceptions. But this is where Jimmy Graham just went fucking bananas. He had 10 for 132 and 1, and that's when it became apparent. You're like, dude, teams just. They just don't have an answer for him. Like, because the Saints would put Sproles out, and they would motion Jimmy Graham, and there's like teams is like, you want to put a linebacker on him, he's gonna run by him. You want to put a corner on him, the Saints are just gonna run a play where Jimmy Graham will out jump the little corner and shoo him away like a fucking gnat. And that's where it was like, this offense, you like.
But Brees was bad again in this game. He wasn't great, and I think. I remember at the end of this game just thinking, man, I'm really glad that Blaine Gabbert is inept. I mean, just terrible because I remember thinking like if the Jags had anyone else at quarterback, the Saints might have lost this game. It was not an impressive performance in terms of winning it. But yeah, like you said, Jimmy Graham kind of offensively, at least, he kind of put the team on his back.
Yeah. And then then you know you're feeling pretty good. They go to Carolina the next week, and the thing I remember most about this game is midway through the third quarter, like it just started storming in Houston. So, and DirecTV, like they didn't have. I don't think they had it then. Where they had the Sunday Ticket app where you could have it and you could just watch it on the iPad. So I was like mid third quarter on, I was watching the ESPN update box, you know. So this is a game the Saints won 30-27, and it took Pierre Thomas' little dump off pass with like 50 seconds left to win. And it's another case, like, this is another thing where, like, you realize, like, oh, this defense is not good. Like, Cam Newton kind of shredded them and ran a bunch, you know? But it's another case where, like, this offense, man, like, just the – Jimmy Graham, like, 8 for 129. Sproles caught 5. Marcus Colston caught 5. Robert Meacham caught 4. Lance Moore caught 3. Like, you know, Mark Ingram, you know, they didn't really run for that much. But then again, they kind of did. They, you know, Sproles ran for 50. Ingram ran for 32. Pierre Thomas. Like, this offense, at this point, like, you realize, like, it was a juggernaut. Like, they were putting over 400 on teams, like, weekly.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Like, it's still at this point, it didn't hit me yet. I thought they were a very unconvincing 4-1. I kind of remember feeling about them. I don't want to say like I feel about this team now, because this team now, I mean, they've convinced me defensively. But I remember thinking about the Saints like, yeah, this offense is pretty good. But I remember being worried about Drew at this point.
Yeah.
Like, Breeze had not gone DEFCON mode like he does later in the season.
Yeah. And they're 4-1. But, I mean, the thing is, I think the thing is back then is people forget about it now because of Bounty Gate and all the things. But there was a real trust with Greg Williams, you know, like because they had won in 2009, and granted the defense wasn't great, but they had caused all the turnovers, right?
Right.
And you know, and then in 2010 they didn't get the turnovers, but they were good defensively. They were solid until the playoff game in Seattle. I mean, they were top five by yards. So there was a trust with Greg Williams. Like, there was a sense of Greg Williams can figure it out. He can get it fixed. Where it's a long time.
You mean with the fans?
Yeah. Like, I think okay. There, you know, it wasn't. Like,
I don't think there was any trust between Peyton and.
No, but like Peyton, we don't get to that. Maybe we should get to that now. Like, Greg Williams and Sean Payton, like, weren't fucking talking to each other at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it was totally dunzo finny. Like, which is weird because you would think the guy that you brought in and helped to win a Super Bowl, like you would think they would get along better. But for their relationship to deteriorate that fast was, I mean, we didn't know it at the time, but like looking back at it, it is still kind of odd, right? I mean, like, you know, if I bring you in, Andrew, and you help me win a Super Bowl, like less than 2 years later, like we're not speaking, like that would be kind of weird, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, and the thing is with the Saints, they were terrible on third down on defense for long stretches, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But then the season, sort of the Tampa game was the turning point, even though it was a loss.
That's when Sean Payton broke his leg.
Broke his leg. They lose to Tampa, 26-20. You know, and the thing is that year, like Tampa was kind of decent. Tampa had one of those just weird, bizarre years under Raheem Morris where they were like good for no apparent reason. And Josh Freeman lit the Saints defense up, 23 of 41, which is real. Which you want to talk about a weird dude, like Josh Freeman. Like there was a moment after 2011.
He was the Cedric Ellis of quarterbacks.
Like people were like, that dude's gonna be good, and like not only like good, people were like, he's good. You can kind of build your team around him, and he's gonna be a franchise quarterback. Like that was the feeling about him in 2011. This is another case of you like.
I know Freeman is kind of a loner, and Jameis Winston is really outspoken, but so far, like, can you disagree with me? I mean, you can disagree with me if you want. Like, to me, they're kind of the same player.
I think they're the same player, but I would say Josh Freeman has accomplished more because he got a 10-6 year. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
This is another year. This is another game, though, where Drew Brees was bad, man. 29 of 45 for 383, but a touchdown, 3 picks. Like, it was like that. Yeah. It was the classic Drew Brees road game where, like, the Saints get behind, they press.
It was pouring in this game.
Yeah. And Sean Payton has shattered his leg in a hideous
way. Jimmy Graham broke his leg.
Yeah.
Broke Sean Payton's leg.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was weird, but by this point, like, you, like, this is the point where, like, Jimmy Graham had dropped, like, 3 straight 100-yard games. And this is the point where you realize, like, Jimmy Graham is this uncoverable fucking force of nature. Like, he went for 7-124. And you
there was no doubt about that. But I think at this point, the Saints are 4-2.
Yeah.
They're pretty unconvincing. The defense looks mediocre. And Breeze, he's putting up the yards and the stats, but he's making a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think this is like the 4th game in a row he threw a pick. He's had multiple picks in a couple games. So, like, I still like you said, I think this is the turning point. And, you know, the following week, they were playing the Colts, and it was on
Sunday night because
Sunday night because they thought that Peyton Manning
Peyton Manning didn't play, and I was sad because
Curtis Painter.
Yeah, I had to miss this game. I was originally scheduled to fly in, and I forget what happened. Something happened with my wife, and I couldn't
my wife,
and I couldn't go, so I switched it to the Detroit game. But at that point, the Colts were 0-6, and just. Like, they were fucking terrible. But this game...
Yeah, and I remember it being... us feeling like, hey, this is at a good time. Because the Saints are 4-2. They're coming off a bad loss on the road. And I remember us saying, like, thank God we're playing the Curtis Painter Colts. And, you know, it's a gimme win at home on Sunday night. And if we can just blow them out, you know, we'll be kind of back on track. So yeah, we felt good about that. But I just remember... you know, that was the game where the Saints kind of lit him up. Sean Payton's in the booth. And like halfway through the third quarter, I remember he was up in the booth, like high-fiving people, drinking a beer, kicking his feet up on the desk. Like it was just kind of like you yep, say, we already got this.
You say blowout, but I mean, that doesn't do it justice. Like the Saints won 62-7. I mean, Marcus Colston had 2 scores. Jimmy Graham had 2 scores. Darren Sproles had 2 scores. Lee Torrence had a pick 6.
I'll never forget when we did the podcast the following Monday. You opened with Saints beat the Colts 62-7, and Andrew, I think they just scored again.
Yeah, I think they did. Like my brother who went to the game, he texted me a picture of the scoreboard, and he was like, "The Saints fucking scored 60." In a football game against an NFL team. Like, it was like they had Curtis Painter and Dan Orlovsky, and that was fine. But I mean, Drew Brees, this line is fucking.
This is where I think we felt like, okay, Brees is back.
Yeah. 31 of 35. 325-5. That is a fucking snuff film. I mean, dude, that's 144 rating. He got sacked twice. I don't know how. Mark, here's the funny thing with this thing. Mark Ingram ran for 91. Darren Sproles ran for 88. And Pierre Thomas ran for 57. The Saints had 557 yards of offense and only had 8 third downs. They were 6 of 8. Like, that is fuck. That's like LSU would have a hard time putting that up against Nichols.
Yeah.
Much less an NFL team. Like that game was fucking. It was the Death Star blowing up whatever planet Princess Leia was. I don't remember Alderaan, or was it Alderaan, or whatever the fuck it was. But that's when that's when we kind of knew. We're like, yeah, the defense has a lot of problems, but this offense is ridiculous. So they win that game, and of course, like the Rams are like the Saints' bugaboo until last year.
Yeah,
like
it. Yeah.
It was the bug. And even in like 2009, like the Saints barely fucking escaped. It took like a kick return from Roby.
We thought it was a gimme.
Yeah.
The Rams were 0-6.
Yeah. And they had, they were 0-6.
So I'll never forget.
Haslett was the interim.
Yep. They're 0-6. And Steven Jackson is running all over the Saints.
Yeah, 25 for 159. Like,
and Breeze is back to throwing picks.
Sacked six times. Like,
yeah, he's back to kind of looking awful. And so basically it's 24-0. You know, at halftime it was 17-0. And Steven Jackson gets another run. And, you know, we're still high off the fumes of 2009. So we're still at 24-0. We're still believing. We're still thinking they can find a way to win this game. And I remember Vilma recovers a fumble in the end zone. And we're just like, all right, it's 24-7. They're coming back. And they kind of make a mini run. And I remember it was 24-14 and the Saints get the ball back. And we're thinking, all right, this is one of these Washington or Miami games from 2009. They're going to come back and win. And Breeze throws a pick six.
Yeah.
And that's when I remember thinking, this is in 2009.
Yeah, you're like, and the thing was, like, this team, it was uneven, and you felt good about the offense, but it's hard to go back in time because we're so clouded with recency bias, you know. But we didn't have the same sort of feelings about the defense that we have like now going into 2017, where it was this panic over it. You know, you're concerned about it, but you weren't like those Greg Williams defenses, even though they struggled, and we'll get into the ending, which isn't great, but they weren't historically bad. They were just kind of, they were bad, but they weren't worst of all time. They weren't every quarterback that plays the Saints is Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brady. you know that I'm drunk doing that, but like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, nice. Like there wasn't a sense of the defense is a complete disaster is going to fucking sink them. It was a worry, but I think after the Rams game, like I remember
the big thing about the Rams was that Breeze had not thrown a touchdown the whole game, and he had that streak going.
Yeah.
And he hit Lance Moore with a garbage time touchdown with 6 seconds left to preserve it.
And I remember being worried about it, and people got on me. I remember, like, the Rams shove them around. And like, that's my thing. You know, we've done – how long – we've been doing this show – what, 6-7 years now?
You're the guy
that watches the tape and knows all the tape, and Kevin is the joke guy, and Dave is the guy who eats candy and gets angry. But you know, one of my things is like, whenever they get their ass kicked physically, like, you know me, like on the Monday show, I'm always like, ugh, this is bad. Like, I don't mind if they have a bunch of turnovers or a bunch of penalties or things get weird and they lose. But whenever you get your ass handed to you physically, like, I'm always like, this is bad. And the Rams just were like, fuck you. Our quarterbacks suck. We're going to run Steven Jackson right down your fucking throat, and there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it. And that's why the Rams game was – I was like, oh, this is bad. Like, this is bad. So they were 5-3, and – you weren't feeling bad.
Now, I will say, like, kind of going back, that this would be the last game they lose. And, you know, multiple times over the course of the season, Sean Payton said after that loss to a previously winless team, Sean Payton kind of went in the locker room and said, all right, this is where you kind of separate the good teams from the bad teams. And right now you're a bad team because you're losing to the Rams. And, you know, these are the kind of games that you have to win if you want to make a big run. And he, I remember him referencing that game later in the season and saying that was kind of a fork in the road for us because, you know, from that point on, we were going to play lights out football. Yeah.
Well, this is the end of part one because we decided to do two parts on 2011. This is the end of part one. It's the halfway point of the season. We're going to get to part two in the next episode, and that's when the fun really started and the Saints just took off like a fucking rocket, and that'll be on. So join us for part two later on. Thanks for joining us for Drunk History. Take us out, British Lady.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints History possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.